Jeremiah 9, where I want you to notice again, Jeremiah, you'll see in a moment, was quoted also this verse centuries later by Paul in his first letter to Corinth. Verse 23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." Well, there's three things that God says man should not glory in: his might, his muscles, and his money. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, the mighty man glory in his might, and the rich man glory in his riches. It's the brains and the brawn and the Benjamins. Amen. All three of which, not surprisingly, are exactly what man glories in the most right now in 21st century America. The idolatry in our society over academia and athletics and affluence is crystal clear for all of us as believers to see. And of course, the point is, thousands of years ago, in the days of Jeremiah, the flesh gloried in the exact same things that the flesh glories in tonight, which is why we need this text, where God's people are instructed in what we ought to glory in throughout our entire lives. Verse 24, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Now think about that for a moment. God says that he delights in three things: loving kindness, justice, righteousness. All three of which come from his very nature. Compare those, as Jeremiah does, to what man glories in: IQ, money, and somebody's abs. I don't really want you to compare. I don't want you to look at somebody's abs. Don't literally compare them. But you know what I mean. Now, folks, look, we said earlier that in this text, that this text is quoted in the New Testament and applied in the New Testament. So I want you to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, would you please? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. These are remarkable parallels. Now, I understand that Paul was a Pharisee, that Paul was a theologian, that Paul was a New Testament believer as well and knew the Scriptures through and through. But you can't make these parallels without the power of God and the Holy Spirit leading him to them. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 31, "that according as it is written," I wonder where it's written. I think we know. "That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Here's the quotation of Jeremiah. The question is, why is Paul quoting it? What is the context? Because again, verse 31 says "that according to." "That according as it is written." Look at verse 26. Let's see the context. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many," here it is, "wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Well, there's the mind, the money, and the muscles right there. Look at verse 30. "But of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." You look at those words, that's the opposite. The loving kindness, the justice, and the righteousness Jeremiah mentions in his text. And you know, in Paul's second letter to Corinth, long after this, Paul quotes the same text. The same text from Jeremiah, again, when he says in 2 Corinthians 10:17, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And why? Why is there this almost motto to Paul's life? Well, folks, for one thing, consider the marvel, consider the reality that you and I were actually made, we were created and designed to glory in something. You realize that nobody has to teach a little boy to have heroes or a little girl to have heroines or heroes. I know I made a Superman cape from my pillowcase when I was 5 because I idolized Superman. I believed in Superman. And then it was Batman. And then it was Mickey Mantle. And then it was O.J. Simpson. Oh, that turned out great. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not necessarily wrong to glory in something, because he says, he that glorieth. You think about our Wednesday night studies. People have, as we noted, they were singing songs about David. They were singing these ballads about Saul. People cheered for them. It's human nature. He that glorieth, let him glory. And of course, you can see this, beloved, this inclination, this yearning to glory in something everywhere you look. Turn on the Sweet 16 tonight. What remains of it after church? Watch the Olympics in Tokyo this summer, if they have it, in July. And listen, look at the people cheering. Look at the uniforms and the chants. People love their country, love their flag. They love their heritage. They will glory in their team, their state, their school, the nation of their birth, or the nation of their adoption. Other people glory in their degrees, their education. Others glory in winning some big prize, a Nobel Prize, some accomplishment of an impossible feat. Whatever it is, you understand that the reason why we all glory, that people glory in something, is that we were sort of created, made that way. And God says, he that glorieth, let him glory. However, there's something to consider in light of this inclination for all of us, which is that nobody was made. Nobody was designed by God to glory in the flesh. Chapter 1 again, you'll notice verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Where's God's presence? Well, it's everywhere. So where are you supposed to glory? Chapter 3, in the flesh. Chapter 3, look at verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men. That's a hard one. We think we're good Christians, we're abiding by, let no flesh, no man glory in men. Now, folks, look, the church at Corinth obviously had a problem. In both epistles, Paul has to remind them that glorying is never supposed to be directed towards men. I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, and so on. Glorying in the flesh was never the intention of God, no matter how inclined we are in our fallen nature to do it. And of course, God reminds us of several reasons why that kind of glorying is fruitless and foolish and unfulfilling. 1 Peter 1:24 says, all flesh is as grass, for all the glory of man, here it is, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. In other words, glorying in the flesh is foolish and futile because it's glorying in something that's passing away quickly. Transitory, short-lived. This is why Paul said in Philippians 3:3, we worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. None, Paul? Nope, not my own and not somebody else's either. You see, the reason why we don't glory in the flesh is that the flesh, meaning you and I, meaning man, is simply not worthy of it. His mind, his might, and his money, all of it is inadequate and insufficient for a child of the living God to wrap his soul around and give it glory. I don't care, the greatest scholar, the greatest athlete, the greatest billionaire on earth. None of that changes the truth about the brevity and the weakness of their lives. That it's all passing away. Years ago, when Frank Sinatra was buried, they placed three things in his coffin with his body. A bottle of Jack Daniels, a pack of Camel cigarettes, and 10 dimes to equal a dollar. I don't know, whatever that was for me, it was a reminder that all the glory of the chairman of the board, old Blue Eyes, was like the morning fog. Because there was a day when the name Sinatra caused girls to scream and boys to envy. And stadiums to fill up. A million New Yorkers paid some money to go see one night, one concert of Frank Sinatra. How many people go by and visit his gravesite? A million? No. 1,000? Today? No. 100? No. 12,000 maybe? The glory of man is the flower of the grass. You know, I mentioned Mickey Mantle. He's one of my boyhood heroes. He was the greatest switch hitter in the history of baseball. He's the only player in history that hit over 150 home runs from both sides of the plate. And every kid my age wanted his baseball card. And in fact, what Remo and I discussed, I remember we were talking about him years ago, how that we observed that people in America would go to his games or anywhere they thought he might be because they just hoped on the slim chance that they might get to touch Mickey Mantle. Remember that? Just touch him, because people believed that if we could just touch this amazing man, it would be a magical moment. It might even transfer. The truth is, Mickey Mantle was a heavy drinker and a womanizer. He died of liver cancer when he was 64. He led his wife and three of his boys into alcoholism. Two of his boys died before he did. He lived a sad, broken, miserable life. I thank God, I really do, I thank God that when he retired and he went into seclusion, Bobby Richardson, the great player for the Yankees who was a believer, led him to Christ before he died. But I can tell you this right now, I can tell you that the glory of that man, his card, and it just could touch him. We were not made to, he's just a man, to glory in the flesh in man. And if somehow tonight you have believed that, you have embraced that reality, and you have won that battle, let me say this, amen, and praise the Lord, and that's wonderful. But understand that this is not the entire truth in Jeremiah or in Paul's epistles. Because the text says, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You were made to glory. So that, hear me carefully, it is not enough. You can't just have a vacuum of no glorying. It is not enough for a child of God to say, I don't glory in man. So that if you don't say, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul and I'm this, I like this one, great. If you don't look at your money or your mind or your muscles and say, who's the man? Or who's the mom? Whatever. That's great. But folks, stopping there and glorying in nothing is not God's plan. It is not God's will for you and me. Proverbs 16:27, when Paul closed that glorious epistle on justification by faith, he says, to God only wise be glory. To God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Now hold it. If glory is to be given to God, who's the glory from? Well, folks, it's from us. It's from His own. And you can be sure that if we don't glory in Him, we effectively end up glorifying ourselves. I don't glory in anybody. Do you glory in your own self? In fact, do you realize that the truth is all glorying in anything other than God is really self-glory? Let me illustrate this. Yesterday, I decided to study at our community pool area. There's a cabana area, and there's a nice, quiet place over there. Usually, it's quiet and peaceful, but this time, it was packed. But I had all my stuff, and I thought, I'm just going to try it, and I tried. And it was okay until all these different groups, teenagers, you know, they're all in little groups, pods, teenagers, PGA moms, and boomers, college kids, and they all started playing their music, each one. You know, these little tiny speakers, man, are powerful. But it was so weird because one group would play theirs, and then the other group over there didn't like it. So they would crank theirs up. And I'm trying to set him as over here. It's like, over here, it's like, I had a dream. I got everything I wanted. And then over here, this guy cranks up his, you know, Beach Boys. And wouldn't it be nice if we were older? And then over here, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And I'm like, oh, I had a dream. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. But you know what's obvious in all of this tribalism? And I'm just looking around at these folk. All this tribalism, they're all thinking the same thing. My music is better than your music. My taste is better than your taste. My heroes are better than your heroes. The emphasis is on my. People get upset. Coke better, Pepsi better, and they're like, I'm smarter than you are. No, you're not. It's still glory to me. Isn't that amazing? Even when they're glorying in other things, they think that they're glorying in those things because they're smarter and better, so give glory to me. There's only one thing we can glory in. I glory in the fact that a 12-year-old boy rode a bus to church and Jesus saved him. And I'm saved by the grace of God. And here's what's amazing. The only thing that's worth glorying in is the one thing the world wants you to be quiet about. They don't care if you brag about this and brag about that and shout about this and you worship Aretha Franklin or whatever. But don't give glory to Jesus. And in the sense of what God says to Jeremiah, not only am I grateful that I'm saved, you know, Jeremiah said, glory that you understand the Lord. What a miracle of grace that you understand the Lord tonight. I understand that what his word says about loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness being what he delights in. I don't have enough money to glory in. I don't have enough wisdom to come close to glorying in. I do have an amazing body, and you can understand I'm tempted to glory in that. But seriously, neither I nor you have very much in the way of money, might, wisdom, that we have any reason to be proud about. But you know why that's okay? Because we have the only thing that's worth glorying in. In fact, we have the only thing that will matter when trials and troubles and tribulations come our way. We have the only thing that will matter in eternity. I visit in hospitals, and sometimes I come across someone who's worth $200, $300, $400 million, and they're dying. They're not glorying in their money anymore. They're still holding it, but they're not glorying in it. And then I know of people that are dying and they may not have any money. They're glorying in the Lord Jesus and they're ready to go on. Maybe you're wondering what it means. We've used the word glory, glorify. Maybe tonight you're wondering how exactly is somebody supposed to do this? What do you do to glorify or, quote, give God the glory or glorify God? What does it mean? It's a good question. To God be the glory. Give God the glory. Great things. What does that mean, Pastor? You know, when I was a boy, when I got saved, I attended a church in a little town outside Fayetteville, North Carolina. It was like a camp meeting church. It's a good church. But when the preacher would really get with it in his sermon, start preaching, you know, some of the men would shout, glory! They might say, glory to God! And sometimes they would use, you know, three syllables. Glory! That was more glory than the other glory, I guess. And as a boy, I used to think to myself, what are they doing? What does that mean? Glory! What does it mean to glorify, give God glory? Well, the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to give us an illustration, I think, that perfectly tells us what it means to glorify someone, in particular God. Look at 2 Corinthians, would you? He mentions it no less than 5 times. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read a few verses, and I want you to read them and think about them as we read them. Don't just phone it in here, so to speak. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. So it's talking about Moses' face is shining, and it's referring to it as a glory. And I understand that. It's a glorious thing. He goes on to say this, verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Paul's going to get somewhere. Verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. Why? Remember, his face shined with, the Bible says, glory, and he's putting a veil over it. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, follow this carefully, because here, beloved, is a glorious, great illustration of what it means to give God glory. Moses' face, the Bible says, was shining with the glory of God. So what to do with that face? Either A, put a veil over it, or B, draw attention to it. In fact, let me show you how easy it is to glorify someone. Kevin, stand up, right where you are. In fact, come on up here. Right, just stand right over here. Now, what have I just done? Just stand right there. Thank you. What I've just done is everybody's looking. I have made it so that all eyes are on Besaw. Kevin, what's your middle name?
Charles.
Charles. Tell us your birthday.
January
14th. Oh, that's the day before mine. January 14th? How many of you didn't know that? Raise your hands. You didn't know that. Yeah. How many of you care? No, don't care. Me either, right. Kevin, what's your favorite food? He's going to say yes. What's your favorite food?
Anything at Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. How many of you in this room see Kevin? How many of you learned something about Kevin just a moment ago? Okay. Thank you, Kevin. You can be seated. You know what I just did? I could do it for an hour. Nobody wants us to, right? Hey, man, we'd learn enough. Who cares? All I did was metaphorically pull back the veil, and I revealed, I glorified Kevin to us. And yes, beloved, listen to me. It is that simple. To glorify God doesn't mean that you add to his glory. We can't add to his glory. It simply means you, with your life and your words, you draw attention to it. You pull back the veil and you reveal it like the reflection of a mirror as the moon reflects the glory of the sun. To glorify literally means to reveal, draw attention, exalt. And brings us to the other common question of why. Why? Why are we supposed to bring glory to God? What's the reason for this if this is the chief aim and purpose of our being here? Why? If God is already glorious and nothing can change or diminish his glory, he's as glorious as he's ever been and will be for eternity, then why should we glorify him? Why should we, as the scripture says, live to the praise of his glory? Because if we sought glory, we'd be guilty of megalomania and egotism, right? Of course we would. And yet it is the ultimate virtue, the sole duty of man to glorify God with his life. Why? Before we look again at this text, I want us to pause for a moment and look at the world and the universe around us. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, it says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So let's look at the spiritual things in the universe and in the world, the spiritual things, and what do you see? You see two things. We're Christians. Our eyes have been opened. You see God, and you see the God. In chapter 4, right here, verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious, see how glorious the gospel is? The glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, hear it carefully. This universe, just like it has physical light and darkness, also has spiritual light and darkness. You know, when Hollywood writes its scripts, screenplays, If they're good and they're successful, they always come out with the story of good versus evil, the force and the dark side, good guys, bad guys, always. There is good, there is evil. And we know there is God and there's the God of this world. One is light, the other one blinds the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine to them. In other words, Satan wants to put a veil over the glory of God in this world. And why? Why would he want to do that? Well, the answer to that question also answers the questions of why we're supposed to live in our lives to glorify and to the glory of God. Hear me carefully. Your life and my life, our lives are doing one of two things. We are either putting a veil over God's glory, which is inside of you if you're saved. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. We're either putting a veil over it, or we're revealing God's glory. And the reason we ought to be revealing God's glory is that to glorify God means to reveal who God is. You are simply showing the people around you the attributes not of you, but of God. Instead of the attributes of the God of this world, or the attributes of the flesh, our lives are generally doing one or the other. In fact, here's what happens when your life glorifies God here. It's what others see and learn about the God of heaven. Look at 2 Corinthians again, 4, verse 2. It says, but you have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And again, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Wait a minute. Blinded them from what? Folks, from the truth. The glory of God is revealed in his truth. The devil is a liar, the father of lies. Glorifying God is not a matter of stroking some celestial ego. It is simply exalting the God of truth. The way, the truth, and the life. The Apostle John said, many deceivers are entered in the world, and oh man, deceivers are everywhere. You know, the old Soviet Union had a state newspaper called Pravda, which is Russian for truth. The problem is the whole publication was always a pack of lies from beginning to end. It was propaganda, not Pravda. One of America's cults had a publication called The Plain Truth. Remember that? Should have been called Plain Whoppers because they were all lies, all whoppers in the whole thing. The father of lies is everywhere, and Satan's got plenty of help. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. There's 7 billion people in the world. There's a lot of deceit and lies. There are liars in the Republican Party. There are liars in the Democratic Party. There are liars in Hollywood. There are liars by the barrelful and the Palm Beach Post in Congress. There are liars in the PA room. One, two, three of them that I can count right now. But you know what? Way back in Numbers, when God wrote the law, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, we quoted this morning, cannot lie, promised before the world began. In other words, look, to glorify God always means to promote truth, honesty, verity, reality, accuracy, fact, the glorious good news of the gospel. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, his work is perfect, all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity is he. And folks, anybody whose life glorifies God automatically becomes an outcrier of truth. You live it, you speak it. You know, I get a kick out of all these news media outlets in America and their slogans. News media folk act like they're the world's truth tellers. It's kind of nauseating, isn't it? The Guardian. You know, they're the guardians of truth. CNN, the most trusted name in news. More Americans trust CNN. And it's in Darth Vader's voice, of all things. But then it's NBC, America's news channel. And then more Americans get their news from ABC. Look, somebody's lying. Even their slogans are all lying one to another. As much as the New York Times and our television news and Reuters and BBC pretend to be the world's purveyors of truth, as much as reporters claim to be. Nobody spreads more truth, reveals more truth, and exposes more truth than the simple life of a Christian who glorifies God. Beloved, you realize tonight that truth is a person. That person is eternal. Glorify that person, Jesus, who saved you. And you will spend your life, and I'll spend mine, and this church will, doing exactly what God has left us here to do. Glorify yourself or glorify men, and you're getting off of why you were made. Some churches have a theme verse. I don't think we've ever done that, maybe once or twice in the past. But I've been thinking for 2 or 3 months now, boy, if we had a theme verse for me, for my own self, this is the verse. It's not a feely-good one either. It's Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Do you know tonight, beloved, that God will not share his glory with you? That God will not share his glory with Mickey Mantle, or some faith healer, or some religious leader? Because all glory belongs to God. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you, Lord, for showing us your word so that we can say, we understandeth the Lord. He that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows you and that he understands you. And what a blessing tonight. May we glory in that and live our lives to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' precious name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.